All right, take your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to read verses 17 through 24 together. And we'll read this passage responsively. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 through 24. Let me say to those that helped in Sunday school and junior church and helped getting things set up today, we had to move junior church again. How many did you have in junior church? About 30? Close to 30. It would have been immoral and ungodly to put them in that little room over there. Whew. So thank you all for your help today, and I sure appreciate it. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 through 24. And it came to pass, and we'll read responsively. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, put no fire under it, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And let's pray. Father, once again, we need you. Holy Spirit, please help me in the next 35 minutes or so to be able to help your people. Encourage us, enlighten us, strengthen us. And Lord, may our country last a little while longer because of tonight. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Elijah is a prophet. Elijah was not the high priest. Elijah was not the one that would go to the church building and have the services, but Elijah was a prophet. He was a man of God that went around preaching, and sometimes not everybody enjoyed what he preached. I understand how he feels, all right? But Elijah was, this story in the Bible does not take place at a church building. King Ahab was a wicked, vile, idolatrous man. He worshipped many gods. The main god that he worshipped was Baal. And King Ahab had a wife. Many of you would know his wife's name, Jezebel. And Ahab and Jezebel were quite the pair. Kind of like Bill and... Anyway. that was pretty good, wasn't it? All right, that wasn't in my notes, but it sure did apply. One day, Ahab came to Elijah and said, Hey, aren't you that troublemaking preacher? And I love what Elijah said. Elijah looked at him, pointed his finger in his face, and said, I'm not the one causing trouble, bud, you are. He said, You're the trouble, not me. I'm just exposing your trouble. And the battle was on. You'll find out, now, and I'm not going to get into a big theological discussion here, but you'll find out there were more than 450 false prophets. If you notice, there were 450 false prophets of Baal, and Jezebel had 400 false prophets of the groves. There were 850 false preachers there, and Elijah said, I challenge you. He said, tell you what, let's all meet at Mount Carmel, and we'll have two sacrifices. We'll put them on the altars, and you cry to your gods. And if the God that answers by fire and consumes the sacrifice, we'll let him be God. He said, y'all ready for it? They said, it's well said. We'll do it. They took the challenge. Now, here's what happened. Elijah met them up on Mount Carmel, and Ahab was there, and the 450 false prophets of Baal, the 400 false prophets of the groves of Jezebel's people, and they went up to the mountain. And he said, why don't y'all go first? I'll be the gentleman. Since y'all don't like me, I'll let you go first, and just that way you can prove that your God is the real God. So they built their altar, and they killed the sacrifice and put it on the altar, and they started doing their boogaloo and skunk skedaddle dances around there and started praying and crying. Nothing happened. Bible says they started cutting themselves. They were actually bleeding themselves in an earnestness to try to get Baal to answer them. I like Elijah. He's laying back and he said, hey, maybe your God can't hear you. Why don't you cry a little louder? They start screaming and hollering and squalling. And he said, hey, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe you better find a new number to call. Maybe he changed phone carriers. And it didn't work. They tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. Bible says they tried all day long. I mean all day. I mean for hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. They cried and screamed and hollered and played rock music and jumped around, danced around, cut themselves. I imagine it was a mess. After they were done, wore out, Elijah says, y'all sit down. Let me show you what God can do. Elijah got up, and the Bible says that he put the altar together, put it in order as God said, put the altar together. And as he put the altar together, they killed the bull and sacrificed it and put its blood, look this way, put the blood on there and put that bullock up there, put the wood under it, and there was no fire. Now watch this. He said, y'all got a barrel of water? They said, yep. He said, I want you to dig a trench around this thing. I want you to put a barrel of water on it. They put a barrel of water on the sticks and on the sacrifice. Now, can you imagine lighting wet wood? Matter of fact, he didn't stop with one barrel. They put 12 barrels of water on the wood and the sacrifice. 12 barrels of water, hundreds of gallons of water, to where the trench was full of water, everything around the sacrifice was full of water, everything was dripping wet, and Elijah got up and he prayed 63 words. If you look at verse number 36, the Bible says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of Elijah and the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, here's his prayer. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Amen. Look at me. The Bible says that as soon as he did that, verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Shazam! God came down, not only lit the fire and consumed the sacrifice, the wet wood was gone, the sacrifice was gone. It was hot enough fire to consume the stones. Folks, that's some hot stuff. Not only that, because it was so hot, it dried up all the water that was in the trench. Hundreds of gallons of water, poof, evaporated. I love it. Verse 39. And when all the people saw it, that's the false prophets, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. They took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Now, look at me, if you will. I've seen some pretty amazing things in the last 26 years of full-time Christian service and 30 years with Bible college thrown in there on top of that. We need a generation that sees God. The issue was not Elijah. The issue was God. Once you notice, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that thy people may know that thou art the Lord. And he said, I have done all these things at thy word. Folks, the issue today is not necessarily our church. The issue today is that book and our God. I loved what Brother Fugit said. He had no idea what I was preaching tonight. It's good to see that it can still be done and is still being done. He said, when we do what God says, it's amazing what happens. Folks, that's what it's all about. When we just do what God says, it's amazing what happens. But I will say this, when you do what God says, you will face opposition. You will face opposition when you do what God says. When you realize that, and by the way, some of y'all are new Christians. And as you start living the Christian life, I realize it seems like everything's real good and all of a sudden you hit a wall. How come everything just got a little tougher? Because that means you're doing the right thing. You are going to face opposition. I call it new convert syndrome. You think everything's going great for a while, shazam. It's kind of like that new baby till you take it home and you got to take care of it yourself. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's fine. Because you got them nurses there taking care of that thing if you don't. But all of a sudden you got it home and it didn't come with an instruction book attached to it. And it doesn't always tell you what's wrong. It just screams, cries, hollers, and sometimes for no good reason. It doesn't change the older they get. They just scream louder and cry more. Amen? Now, I want to give you about four or five thoughts, and we'll be done. Number one, how do you handle the attack for standing right? How do you handle the attack for standing right? Number one, Elijah went straight to the troublemaker. He wasn't listening to the gossips. Everybody doing all right? He didn't stand in awe of a position. He went straight to the king. He said, the king came up to him and said, aren't thou he that troubleth Israel? He said, I'm not the problem, king, you are. I'm not cocky. I have a confidence about myself based on the word of God. But may I say this? I will respect everybody's position. Last night, I picked my daughter up from work, and the police were after somebody. Man, they had intersections blocked everywhere, and they had flashlights out, and they were looking in people's cars. They were checking this one SUV out ahead of us, and my daughter said, I said, it's okay. I said, we haven't done anything wrong. Obviously, they're looking for somebody. And I rolled down my window, and the officer, he looked at me, pointed his light at me. And I just sat there, and he went, I said, okay. She said, Daddy, are you supposed to go? I said, he gave me the nod. It's okay. But what? I said, it's okay. Trust me. I said, they'll stop us if I did something wrong. Trust me. I waited. I said, he gave me the nod. It's okay. And I was teaching her some more things about driving because that's a little unnerving for a young driver. And it all worked out. Can I tell you something? I respected the officer. I kept both hands on top of the wheel where he could see them. Say, why? I didn't know what he was looking for, who he was looking for. I didn't think it was me. Unless I had done something since I left the house and my wife called him, I really didn't know about. Now, wait a minute. Elijah went straight to the troublemaker. It's amazing how many of us listen to things we don't even know the whole story about. Social networking is dangerous because you only hear one side. Amazing how all these, and I'm probably not going to use the right terminology, but all these bloggers and responders or whatever you want to call them, I call them sewer pits, they respond to everything. You can get depressed reading people's reviews on things. I don't do that kind of stuff. You say, why? Those people make me mad. Here they are talking about things they don't even know the whole story. You see, the ground is level at the cross. don't change your position to alter your behavior. Did you know that Elijah treated a widow with the same respect he did the king? If you read the story of Elijah, he treated a widow lady with the same respect he treated the king. I'm going to put it down in my daddy's terminology. This one's clean. this is okay. This is just good old horse sense. He said, son, you don't look up at anybody and you don't look down at anybody. Every man in this world puts his pants on one leg at a time just like you do. Look him square in the eye. You know, my dad was right. He was right. Now, I'll respect somebody's position, but I'm not going to treat them better because they have a position. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. Elijah did not try to stir up the people against the leader. He went to the leader who had caused the problem and told him to knock it off. Elijah wasn't the one getting people stirred up. The king was getting people stirred up against Elijah. Do you know I don't have a vendetta against anybody? Now, if people are doing wrong and preaching the truth exposes them, so be it. I don't care. But I'm not here exposing people every week. Did you know what Brother Stoltz did? Come back next week, you'll find out. I have no desire to do that. Can I tell you why? It doesn't do anybody any good. I'm not one of these sensationalists. Now, listen to me very carefully. Quit trying to stir people up for your cause. Can I tell you what I try to get people stirred up for? Obeying that book right there. If I could get you stirred up enough to go out and tell some lost sinner how to stay out of hell and get them to heaven, I'd be successful. If I could get you stirred up enough to read your Bible every day and talk to the God of heaven every day, I'd feel successful. I don't care about you going out and criticizing somebody that doesn't believe everything the way you believe it. By the way, be careful making people conform to what you believe. What does the Bible say? That's what the big issue is. I'm going to make a statement. Everybody, hold on. Disloyalty is afraid of authority. Fellas, where you work, when you tell somebody, why don't you go see the boss about that? Oh, I'm not going to go see the boss about that. Usually that means they're disloyal. Disloyalty is afraid of authority, just so you know. It amazes me how many people know how to fix a company that haven't run a hot dog stand. Do you ever notice the people on welfare know how to fix the problems in the government and they can't even get a job without the government? You know, the guy that's frying French fries at McDonald's knows better how to run McDonald's than Ray Kroc did. He is the one that owns McDonald's, right? I'm pretty sure. I thought I got that right. Folks, if you know how to push a button, and half the time they don't even know how to turn the stupid beeper off once it is ready, and they think they know more and they deserve $15 an hour for putting frozen French fries pre-measured into a basket, drop them, wait for the machine to beep, hit the button, bring them back up, let them sit for a second, throw salt on, throw them in a tray, and they can put them in a little bag or a little box, and they deserve $15 an hour for that? And they can tell you what's all wrong with the McDonald's Corporation because they're not getting their fair share. They don't even know how to blow their nose yet. If somebody's causing trouble, go straight to the cause. Mamas and daddies, be careful. Boys and girls are good about letting you know when somebody else did wrong, but sometimes it's to cover the wrong they did. Go straight to the troublemaker. My mom and dad had a way of zeroing in on who the troublemaker was. It was always my brother. I didn't even look because I knew what they were thinking. You know, you got to go straight to the troublemaker. And I'm not one of these people that I used to teach my staff in schools. Don't punish the whole class because one person did wrong. That's not just. You know, if one person runs a stop sign, the next 30 people that do stop at the stop sign shouldn't get a ticket? Why should we punish a whole group because one didn't do right? Now, if nobody's telling the truth, then you punish them all for lying. That solves the whole problem, amen? Number two, I got to hurry. Elijah learned to fight for right. He learned to fight for right, not to defend himself. Look at verse number 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. He said, look, I'm standing for the Lord. I am standing for right. I'm standing for the word of God. I'm standing for the cause of God. And there's 450 false rascals out there. Get them and let's find out who's God's right. Now, can I tell you something? Elijah stood alone. Brother Stoltz, come on up here. We graduated from the same college. In the last 30 years, we've had to stand alone a little bit. Guess what? Every once in a while, you're going to stand alone. Sometimes you even stand against those who used to stand with you. Well, that's hard to do. I don't think that should... Okay, blame them for changing, not me. Don't get mad at me. I didn't change. Amen? Have a seat there. Did you know sometimes you're going to have to stand alone? Thank God Elijah didn't have to go back to the local ministerial association and say, fellas, do you think you could come help me? Oh, I gotta take a tough stand. I need to get a whole bunch of people to come help me. No, you need to stand for God. I don't need 30 other preachers to come bail me out. We need to stand and fight for right because it's the right thing to do. You may need to stand alone in your own family. Do you know there are going to be times where you'll have to stand against family members because you're standing for right? I didn't say it was comfortable. By the way, I don't think you should have to be rude about it. You just do it. It's just the way it is. My in-laws are here. I love my in-laws. We've invited them to church. If they came, great. You know, if they stayed at home, I'm coming to church whether they come or not. Now, they're here. They come. Don't worry about it. There's no problem between them and me. I'll kill them if they don't come. No. But, you know, there are times when you'll have to stand against your family. They don't always understand. They may not always understand. Did you need Miss Moore? Okay, good. Your baby in the nursery's crying. I just had to say that. All right. Now, you may need to stand alone in public. Listen to this statement. Do you know our world is vile? There are people out there that cuss every other word and don't even know they're cussing. And I can put up with a little bit of it, but when they start taking God's name in vain, I draw the line. I was at the hospital not long ago and got in an elevator, and this person started blurting out things. I said, hey. And they looked at me. I said, quit talking about my Lord that way. He said, who do you think you are? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. Do you want a sermon? No. I said, you're talking about my Savior right now, and I don't appreciate it. That's not my God's last name. Quit using it that way. No, I wasn't ugly. Matter of fact, I gave him a gospel tract. By the time we got to the fourth or fifth floor, he was apologizing to me, you know, backing up. The good thing is he couldn't back up real far in an elevator. I had him in a corner no matter where he went. I wasn't being unkind, but I'll speak up in public. I have no problem with that. Here we go. You ready? You might have to stand up against religious people. When Josh was in the hospital in California, he was in a Catholic hospital, St. Mary's Hospital in Long Beach, California. This, they call her sister. I was getting ready to walk in. She said, you can't go in there. I said, excuse me? I said, that's my son. She said, we just got him to sleep. You can't go in there. I said, ma'am, he bears my last name. My name's on his birth certificate. And I hate to tell you this, they might call you sister, but you're not his mother. Get out of my way. She said, I'm not going to let you in. I said, ma'am, you're talking to a Baptist preacher. Oh, one of those. I said, yes. I said, and I called her something I probably shouldn't, and I won't say it in the pulpit, but it wasn't anything dirty or derogative, but I called her sister something. And I said, get out of my way. I said, you might try to run your church, but you're not running my family. Well, I never. I said, I know. Now get out of my way. Do you know, every time I walked down the hall, all the nuns went, whoosh. Word travels fast. I'm going to make a statement here. Fundamentalists don't change. People quit being fundamentalists. There's no such thing as new fundamentalism. It's called fundamentalists that have changed. They're not fundamentalists once they change. You either believe it is or you don't believe it. Either you believe what it says or you don't. Well, it was only inspired in the originals. Puke. You're not a fundamentalist. Well, we live in the 2000s, Brother Bush. I'm glad you know what year it is. Come back next week. Let's see if you can find the right month. You know, God didn't say you live a certain way just because of the date. Man, that's good stuff. Number three, Elijah was not afraid to condemn the false religions. Did you notice he laughed at them? Look at verse 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. He was making fun of them.
Yes, sir.
Now, folks, every once in a while I'll say something about, you know, the old Ernest Angley, the only guy that could make a five-syllable word out of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, These guys are weird. I don't think you should do that. Okay, then you take it up with God because it's in the book. People need to see how stupid some of that stuff is. Well, I believe in faith healing. I do too. God can heal anybody, but it's amazing. Oral Roberts believed in faith healing and had to build a $50 million hospital. If he could heal people, what'd he need a hospital for? So he could take more of your money. Everybody doing all right? I hate to tell you this. I'm not the friends of the Catholic Church. Anybody that believes in idol worship and praying through Mary, I disagree with.
Amen.
I have no problem saying it. I'm not mad at them. I just think their doctrine's out of hell. Hang on. I'm against the tongues and the wild chaos of the charismaniac movement. There's a lot of people that look religious and they look spiritual, but they're not scripturally right.
Amen.
Somebody's got to have the backbone to stand up and tell you about it.
Yes,
I'm tired of a bunch of sissy britches, lily-livered Baptist preachers who get up that are afraid of their wife and their mama. The average Baptist preacher in America has got more lace on his underwear than any woman in the church. He's afraid to tell the truth. I'm not.
Amen.
He said, well, sometimes you get rude. Sometimes you get a little rough. Good.
Amen.
Every once in a while, you need it. It's called shock and awe.
Amen.
You know, anyway. People who believe the Bible and salvation wrongly need exposed.
Yes, sir. That's right.
People who believe the wrong Bible need exposed.
Amen.
Chucky Swindoll needs exposed because he's preaching wrong doctrine from the wrong Bible.
Right.
Charles Stanley needs exposed because he's preaching wrong doctrine from a wrong Bible. Colorado Springs. James Dobson, Hocus Pocus on the Focus on the Family. It's got a $50 million complex in Colorado Springs, and over $40 million of it was given by the Catholic Church. Oh, he's a Christian psychologist. He went to the same worldly universities that the other yahoos go to. Everybody doing all right? By the way, that's why he doesn't use King James Bible. You see, you don't have to condemn people, but you don't have to cover for their wrong. Did you know that Elijah allowed Ahab to continue to have his respect as king? Did you notice when he addressed him, O king? He addressed him properly. I don't have to agree with the president of the United States, but don't worry about it. If he walked through the door, I would treat him with respect. He's not going to walk through the door of this church. Brother Taylor probably tackled him before he got there. I'll finish with this thought. Listen to this statement. Elijah fixed the altar for God so God could do his work. It's very interesting. If you look at these false prophets, they broke down the altar. And the Bible says in verse number 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. Watch this. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now, can I tell you something? We're supposed to use this altar. The average church in America, the altar's dry, dusty, and never used. It's time to repair the altar in your life. It's time to use the altar of God and repair it in your life. Now, I realize, some of you older folks, it's a chore to get down here. And if you could get down on your knees, it would take six of us to get you back up. And I understand that. But most everybody doesn't have that problem. And it's amazing because I watch some of those that can't get down here. They'll stay seated in their seat and use their chair as their altar. And I'm good with that. But I think as many of you that physically as possible can get up here, we need to repair the altar in our life. Well, somebody might think I'm a sinner. Don't worry. We don't think. We know. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I just don't feel like I need it. That's more the reason to get up here. How are you going to defend God if you don't know him personally? How are you going to stand for him if you're not willing to kneel for him? Everybody doing all right? How long has it been since your knees hit the altar? Guess what? It fits all size knees. Vain words without the power of God mean nothing to God. I'm not talking about come down here and be redundant. And I've never been Catholic. I've been in a couple Catholic churches to just see what sometimes they did because I happened to be there, but coming down here and Hail Mary full of grace and all the other stuff and counting your beads and reciting the Lord's Prayer. Guess what? The Lord's Prayer was an outline for prayer. It wasn't a prayer. Everybody doing all right? He didn't say these following words. He said, say the following outline. And learn this outline so that you know how to pray in your time with me. Now hang on there. Can I tell you something? Use the altar. Guess what? You can make an altar at home. I'm not talking about you build a bench and put gold statues on it and burn incense. I'm talking about wherever you read your Bible and pray. It might be walking a field. It might be in your garage. It might be in your easy chair. It might be wherever you read the Bible and you pray. But can I tell you something? It's time to repair the altar in America. Mama and daddy, your kids need to see you pray. They need to see you read your Bible. Boys and girls, your mom and dad need to see you read your Bible. Some of you young people are going to get ticked off and run away from God. I'm going to tell you why, because you don't spend time with your God. I watch it. You can't even sing during the church service. If you can't sing for God, you're not going to stand for him. Well, I just don't sing very well. Neither do I. Who cares? Shut up, Brother Barnes. Can I tell you something? I don't care how well you sing. You're supposed to sing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's coming out your mouth in our generation? Out of the abundance of your texting and social networking, the heart speaketh. I want God pleased with Grace Baptist Church. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Right now, God is pleased with Grace Baptist Church. Look at all God's doing. God's hand of blessing is upon it. By the way, it's been on it for 2.5+ years.
That's right.
We've been doing what He says, His way, whether it was good days, bad days, healthy days, sick days, whether... whether we had 20 visitors or whether we didn't have any visitors, we kept doing what God said, standing for right. Now look what God is doing. We've planted the field. We've let the seed sit. We've let the rain come. We've let the storms come. It's starting to grow. The heat's come. The cold has come. And guess what? It's now strong and growing. Now we get to pick a little harvest. Can I tell you something? It's time for us to repair the altars in our life. Time for us to take a stand. The time's coming. We're going to have to stand harder and harder and harder. You're going to have to stand against some of your old friends. The average class reunion's not worth going to. If you haven't seen them in 10, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, why do you want to see them now? It really is not what you think it is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. 63-word prayer versus an all-day ritual and chaotic mess. When the fire of God falls, it's quite simple. You stand for His word and stand for truth. Stand with the man of God and everything's okay. Okay.